say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Proverbs chapter number 20. In fact, on our way to Proverbs chapter number 20, I really would like for you to stop at Proverbs chapter number 4:4-7. The wisdom is the principal thing. It's the principle. It's the, in a sense, the main thing. That's the important thing. Wisdom is. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. A difference between wisdom and understanding is wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge, in a sense, the choice of laudable. Laudable means praiseworthy, commendable means. What's the most commendable thing? Wisdom is not just the ability to choose between good and bad, right and wrong. It's the ability to choose between good, better, and best. What is the most praiseworthy? What would most please God? What is most commendable? And then wisdom also provides the ability to know what the best route or way to go about those, to get to those laudable, commendable, praiseworthy ends. Understanding is a little bit different than wisdom is. Understanding is the faculty of the human mind, or the ability of the human mind, by which it comprehends the real state of things that are presented to it. What is the real state of things that are presented it? Probably the most obvious circumstances right now. We're leading up to presidential election. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, but this guy says he's the best answer. She says she's the best answer. You get on the other side of the ticket. He says he's the best answer. He says he's the answer. He says he's the answer. He says he's the answer. And we've got to choose what is the best, what we believe would be the right. This type of decision is made every single day about who we're friends with, about where we go to work at, about how we choose to invest money. This issue is on the table all the time. Not the issue of money, but the issue of the ability to choose the right, how things really are in the world. All right? We need that. We need understanding. We need wisdom. We need understanding to apprehend the real state of things that are presented to it. Now, Proverbs chapter number 20, this is an interesting verse. We're going to look at one verse right here. But to understand the real state of how things are. Chapter 20, verse number 14, talks in a sense about some of you guys are going to know what I'm talking about. The art of the deal. 1987, a book was written. Doesn't matter who the author is. Well, it does kind of matter. But a book was written called The Art of the Deal. In the book, there was a description given about how to get the best deal. The principles of the book in general are think big, maximize your options, know your market, enhance your location, get the word out, fight back, deliver the goods, contain the cost, have fun, and one of the principles was use your leverage. Now, the example given in the book of using your leverage went like this. When the board of Holiday Inn was considering whether to enter into a partnership with me in Atlantic City, they were attracted to my site because they believed that my construction was farther along than that of any other potential partner. I'll read that again. When the board of Holiday Inn was considering whether to enter into a partnership with me in Atlantic City, they were attracted to my site because, or the place he was building his casino, they were attracted to my site because they believed that my construction was farther along than that of any other potential partner. In reality, I wasn't that far along, but I did everything I could, short of going to the work at the site myself, to assure them that my casino was practically finished. My leverage came from confirming an impression they were already predisposed to believe. My leverage came from confirming an impression. It wasn't the truth, but my leverage was confirming the impression that they were already predisposed to believe. It's leverage. It's about leverage. In our culture, the art of making a deal in our culture, I'm not saying in the Bible. Now listen closely. In our culture, the art of the deal has a lot to do with leveraging people. Now, there's lots of ways that you can leverage people. Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 14, instructs us about how to operate as believers, or how, in one sense, not to operate as God's people in negotiating in a purchase. It is not. That means it's nothing. And see, this misrepresenting the real state of things or how things really are is an art of negotiation that the world uses. Now, God is not in favor of that type of a operation. God's in favor of a fair balance. As a matter of fact, the scripture says in the book of Proverbs, a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord. And it's not just in the issue of weights and means. It's in the issue of how we present things. And when we falsely misrepresent things in order to buy something cheaper, extremely cheaper than what it should really be priced at, thereby taking advantage of people, or when we falsely represent in the sale of a good, a product, a service, you know. I think I told the story one time. We were down and we were purchasing Sherry's last car that she got. So we're in there negotiating the deal, and I just, you know, give me a good, fair price. I don't have to have the lowest price in the world, but you give me a good deal, a fair price. I know you got to make a dollar to keep your business in operation. You try to gouge me, and I know it. I'm out of here. But I'm just asking for you to give me the best deal that I can get. You still make some money because you got to stay in business, because I may want to come back here and buy a car from you in the future. Right. All right? So we made our deal. It was a fair deal. It probably wasn't the best deal in the world, but it was a fair deal for the product that we purchased. And we're getting ready to walk out, and I'm talking to this fella who had also negotiated the purchase of a Honda vehicle. And we began talking about his vehicle that he was trading in. And he said to me, he's like, yeah, it's got a leak in the radiator. I didn't tell him, but they'll figure it out. That's not very nice, is it? Now, I know that we don't have to go in and tell him everything. But if you want a fair deal, and there's this principle of love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, you're buying a car, and if it had a leak in the radiator, wouldn't you want to know? And if you're selling a car or trading a car in, isn't it only fair and in brotherly love that we would have for other people? You might say, that principle doesn't apply, preacher. This is a business deal, and business is business, and personal is personal. And godly is godly. And right is right, and wrong is wrong. And we got to be cautious when we are in business deals, number one, because we know the real state of things in the world, and many people in our culture, the way it's trending downwards because we're losing our walk with God, we're giving it up, more and more people want to negotiate not in good faith, and they want to take advantage of you. So then you understand that the responsibility falls upon us to know what the real value of something that we have is. Now, if they're going to come in and they're going to say, it's worthless, this is the advantage of a service like Kelley Blue Book. That's an advantage to us because somebody like us can go online and we can find out the real value, not just what we go in and they go, well, that piece of junk you're trading in, that thing's worth only $5,000. Yeah, but Kelley Blue Book said it's actually worth $7,500. Why are you trying to give me $5,000 when it's worth $7,500? And see, so you come to a place when you're in a culture that because to gain their personal advantage, they would say, it's worthless, and then later they go out and they say, it's really valuable. After they've taken what belongs to you, then, number one, there's two things here. Number one, if we operate like the world, God knows, God sees, God hears, it is going to cost us. I cannot stand underhanded, sneak around behind the back, lie, manipulate. Because you may not know the real state of how things are. But if I do, I need to be able to have the freedom and the liberty to be able to do that. You with me? So what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is to be successful in life as a believer, in a culture that is infested with people who are going to say, it's worthless, it's worthless. Now see, manipulators, they play off of this kind of stuff too. And our young girls, there are none of them in here right now, they're all out there in the teen class, and it's not just our young girls, but our young boys. Now, parents, listen to me. This is what the world will do. They'll tell your daughters, you're worthless, so that they can take advantage of them. They'll tell your sons, it's not. And so it behooves us as God's people to know the true value of things, cars we sell, services we sell. It behooves us to know about two things in the scriptures that God said are extremely, extremely valuable. Even though the world would say they're not important, they are not important. God says these two things you don't want to give up or sacrifice. We're in the book of Proverbs, all right? And I'm just asking you to turn over a couple of pages to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse number 1. We were just at chapter 20, verse 14. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasts or he brags about his great deal that he got after he just took advantage of someone by deceiving them into thinking that what they sold was not worth anything. So in Proverbs chapter number 22, verse number 1, God puts us on to two things that are extremely valuable that you should never let the world or the devil con you out of giving up. All right? One is this, to be a person that is well spoken of. And the second is to be a person that is well beloved. Now it goes like this, chapter 22, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, I know what the world says. The world says, who cares what they think about you? Who cares whether you have a good name or not? As long as you got the money in the pocket at the end of the day, you have won or you are ahead. I know that that's what the world teaches. But that's not what God teaches. God says something that is much more valuable than money is that you have a good name. In other words, that you are well spoken of in a community. That when people hear your name, and every time that people hear our name, there is an immediate impression, if they know us at all, there is an immediate impression or an idea that pops into their head. Let me just give you a good example. All right? Let's just be practical. How about this? Abraham Lincoln, Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler, Alfred Nobel, Billy Graham. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to make a decision about when I want to go down in history, when people remember Tim Carter, do I want to be in the category of Billy Graham or Adolf Hitler? Now you might say, well, a good name don't really mean that much. I'm telling you, in a small community, especially that we live in, it means all the more. See, and God understands this principle. This is why one of God's Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Because God knows that when his name is brought up in a culture and in a society, if the only thing that his name means is a cuss word, or it means someone that wants to intrude in my life, this is why even little things in a culture, and the devil is very slick. Why is it that 40 years or 50 years has gone by, or we've never in the history, the recorded history, have ever had a tornado come through this town and tear it all to pieces? But as soon as a tornado comes through a city or a town and tears up a neighborhood, it is an act of... But for the last 40, 50, 60, 150, 200 years that we have never had a day where a tornado came through and tore up our town, it was Mother Nature was good to us. But as soon as something bad happens in our town, it's an act of... You ever think about that? See, this is the thing. Any little thing to undermine his great name. When the name of Jesus is affiliated with profanity, when the name of Jesus is affiliated with hypocrisy, when the name of Jesus is affiliated with scandal, one of the most important things to God is, don't you take my name in vain. If you take my name in vain, I will not hold you guiltless, speaking about in the judgment. And we better be very cautious about how we use God's name. Boy, you talk about, and I have done it, and I am not proud of it, and I have asked God with everything that's in me to forgive me of every time when I was younger that I took Jesus' name in vain and I used God's name tied in with profanity. Because I have had my little part over these 47 years of making God's name a bad name. But the truth is that in a culture, when we think about God, it's a pitiful shame when we think about God and we think of someone that we want him out of our culture, out of our schools, out of our government, rather than someone that we need a personal relationship with to be able to make it to heaven one day. And see, what God told us is this, here's the art of the deal. And the art of Satan's deal is, we're going to try to get rid of every good reference to the name of God in a culture. We're going to tie his name into violence, acts of destruction. We're going to tie God's name into profanity and someone that we don't want around. Because the art of the deal is, he's nothing, he's nothing, he's nothing. And then when he walks away and he says, did you see what I did? They don't think God is that great anymore in America. Now you see, you know why it's so quiet in here? See, because we look around and understanding is the real state of how things are. And don't let the devil ever scam you into telling you that a good name is not value, because it is extremely, extremely valuable. Here's number two. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver or gold. Now, loving favor goes something like this. I don't know exactly what it is about that guy, but there's something about that guy. I really just like him. There's something about that woman. There's something about that girl. I may not be able exactly to put my finger on exactly what it is, but they're just nice. I don't know what it is. I just like that person. Now, you want to talk about two extremely valuable things to a human being. There's something about that guy. I like that guy. Every time I think about him, I think of good. When I hear his name, I think positive. It makes me smile. I think of good. God says, those things are very, very important. Now see, here's why it's important that we don't slander each other. Here's why it's important that we don't spread a bunch of false gossip around about people. Because, you know, what we've got is this. When I die, they're going to summarize my life in about one or two sentences. I'd prefer to set that. And I prefer that other people don't set that for me. I mean, I got to work really hard here to live this life for Jesus Christ, to try to do the right thing. I try really hard. And you know, the other thing is this. As a fly in the ointment of the apothecary, it sends forth a stinking savor. So, the Bible teaches us that a little folly among a person that has a reputation of wisdom, it doesn't take very much folly or doing really dumb stuff to ruin a good name. Now, if people think, if your history is, you know, you do dumb stuff, then, you know, whenever it comes out that you did something really dumb, you're like, well, you know. Wasn't there in a movie some stupid is a stupid does, or some, wasn't there something like that? I think there was. And they're like, well, I'm not surprised. I mean, that goes along with his reputation. I mean, that's what he or she does. That's how they are. But then when you hear of somebody that they have for years and years and years and years, they've been working to try to have a good name. They've been laboring to do right, and people think very highly of them in the community. And you hear, that person did. Now, God knows a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor is to be chosen more so than silver and gold, because he knows that it's important what a community thinks about this church, every church. When people hear Bible Baptist Church of West Union, something immediately comes to their mind. Could we, can we be successful in ministry if what people think in this community is that we're worthless? But it is a long, hard road to build up a quality name in a community. The devil fights you up one side and down the other, and he even tries to get people to make up stuff about you. And then if we give him bullets to shoot us with, well, then that's our own fault. But there are two things. Don't let anybody ever tell you they're worthless. A good name and loving favor. And when you as an individual, when you walk into a place, when you walk in there, when they think, I like that girl, I like that woman, I like that man. And man, just for years they've been a quality person. I'm telling you, more valuable. How could that be more valuable than money? Well, if I walk into a home or a business and I sit down and I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, and nobody around town can stand me. You understand the principle? And then I'm going to sit down and I'm going to say, now look, what you need is Jesus Christ. And they're going to go, you're a liar and a thief and a manipulator, and you're going to come in here and you're going to tell me that I need Jesus Christ. If you're a picture of what Jesus Christ is like, I don't want him. This is why it's important for bishops of churches to have a good reputation of them which are without. That means outside the walls. Because if we're going to impact this community, not only does our church need to have a good name, but our preacher needs to have a good name. Our staff guys need to have good names. Our deacons and trustees need to have good names. Our Sunday school teachers, you guys need to have good names. Our singers need to have good names. Our door greeters, listen, need to have a good name. Otherwise, when people walk in here and they go, whoa, she sings at this church? He's a deacon at that church? He's the preacher at that church? And God told us all along, didn't he? See, and you need to know the real state of things. This is understanding. And somebody comes up to you and they go, your friend is worthless. Now you need to know if they are or they aren't. When somebody comes up to you and they go, your kids are worthless. You guys have never had that happen to you before, have you? See what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is we need to know the real state of how things are, and we need to know what's valuable. Good name and loving favor. Need that. How do I get that, preacher? How do I accomplish that? Let me just tell you. Years and years of having a track record of doing the right thing. And we can blow it all in a careless moment. We can blow it all up like a bomb, especially when we're people that have the reputation of wisdom. So how do you have a good name? You wake up every day and you try to do the right thing. Do what Christ tells you. Love people. Care about people. Be giving. Be caring. Why does that matter? Because one of these days somebody's going to need to know about Jesus Christ. A friend of mine is a pastor. There was a young lady that about 4 years prior, or 5 years prior to this event, she had come to that church just a couple of times. She didn't go to that church long, but she went there a couple of times, and then she didn't come back. She moved off into a different area. In fact, they lived about 45 minutes, her and her husband lived about 45 minutes away from the church. Her husband decides, I want to get saved. He'd been going to these different churches around his area, and there was nobody that could tell him how to really be forgiven of all your sins and be a true Christian and be on your way to heaven. They drove 45 minutes back to the church, my friend's church, where that girl, 4 or 5 years earlier, had been a teenager. They came in on a Saturday. They took a shot. Maybe the preacher is there. They walked in, and the lady said, about 4 or 5 years ago, I came to this church, and my husband, he wants to get saved. And we've been trying different churches in the area we live in, and nobody can seem to tell us how to really get saved. And we have come here. Can you show my husband how to become a Christian? And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of what you do. You do, you do, you do. What have I done to deserve your son? Sent to die for me. What can I give? I want to live. Things I do. You say I belong.